Good morning.
If you want, good morning.
Hey, it's an honor to come up here to give a message. And pray for Dan. We always try to get new people up here. We try not to oversaturate us. But hey, we don't got speakers. Me, Davis, or Dan. Gotta continue. Any brother that wants to give a message, talk to Dan. If it's on your heart to do that, to help us out, that's fine. We're in a study right now in Revelation. And I got some heavy-duty background on it, so it's a kind of bring-your-fans-out type of message today about where the unbelievers go when they die. And the message is on Revelation 13. It's not a long chapter, but it's enough that, there's a lot to it. And studying it all week, it's terrifying, to be honest with you, for the unbeliever. And before I start off, I'm going to have my brother David come up here and read the chapter, and then we're going to get into the chapter. Revelation 13, if you've got your Bibles. David, if you would please come on up here and do that, I would appreciate that.
Sure. So we're reading from the book of Revelation, chapter 13.
You want me to read the whole chapter?
Yes, please. Revelation chapter 13, the word of the Lord. The dragon stood on the shore of the sea, and I saw a beast coming out of the sea. It had 10 horns and 7 heads, with 10 crowns on its horns, and on each head a blasphemous name. The beast I saw resembled a leopard, but had feet like those of a bear and a mouth like that of a lion. The dragon gave the beast his power and his throne and great authority. One of the heads of the beast seemed to have had a fatal wound, but the fatal wound had been healed. The whole world was filled with wonder and followed the beast. People worshipped the dragon because he had given authority to the beast. And they also worshipped the beast and asked, "Who is like the beast? Who can wage war against it?" The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and to exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all whose names have not been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world. Whoever has ears, let him hear. If anyone is to go into captivity they will go. If anyone is to be killed with a sword, with the sword they will be killed. This calls for patient endurance and faithfulness on the part of God's people. Verse 11. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast, it deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands or on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. Word of the Lord.
Thank you, David.
Yep.
pretty sobering chapter of Revelation. And I was talking to Gene Winteringham yesterday, and they might try to mandate getting a vaccine shot. So you're seeing a prelude to what's going on here out in the world, you know, because one day that will happen. This Antichrist will cause you to take that mark if you want to continue to live. So we see that day approaching. As we look at this chapter, you know, the beast coming out of the sea, the so-called sea of humanity, first mentioned in chapter 11. Another term would be described as the abyss. Or another term in the abyss is in Daniel chapter 7. We read similarly, he sees the beast in the vision. The dragon he sees, okay? He's got 10 horns, 10 crowns, 7 heads. You know, and when I was, you know, talking to Jean a little bit about Revelation, I was telling her about my message and how we agreed how difficult the book of Revelation is. That's why I think a lot of people avoid it. That's why the Lord says when you get into the book of Revelation, you get a blessing. Because you got to work hard and try to decipher and study and look stuff up and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in that. That's why when you give messages out, I love it. It's an honor to do that when Dan asks me. I have not a problem. The person that gets the best out of the message is the person giving the message, because you're so locked in all week long and studying what you're going to preach on, and you don't want to do the Lord well. And when He gives you the Holy Spirit that incentive, it's a blessing to know something that you did not know before. That's why I encourage people, you know, if the Lord puts it on your heart to speak or go down to the mission and give a message, you know, it's a 15 or 20 minute, He'll bless you for doing that. Your kids might want to consider doing that down the road, a grace, you know, I mean, because you get so much out of it. Because, you know, a lot of the imagery in Revelation, you know, what's he talking about? This beast, 10 horns, 10 crowns, 7 heads. You know, and one of his heads appears to be fatally wounded. But his fatal wound was what? Healed when he was done. The whole earth was amazed and followed the beast, and they worshiped the beast. You know, listen to that terminology. He calls it a beast, a monster, saying, who is like this beast? Who is able to wage war against it? You know, it's so powerful. Satan, who gave the beast his power and great authority. Satan gave that to him. If you think, I was just thinking about this, if you think about all the people that, well, you can't sell your soul to the devil, but you could do the practices to achieve certain riches in life, fame, fortune, money, whatever. But if you think about it, Satan has the power to give these people those wants. I mean, when he tempted the Lord to bow down and worship him in the desert, he will give you all the glories of the earth. You know, Jesus didn't deny that. They have the authority. Satan's got the power to give it to him. So it shows you, at no surprise right here, when he says, Satan who gave the beast his power and great authority, Satan was able to do that. And God is allowing this. And we'll get into that. Since the beast was embarrassed by the resurrection and ascension of what is called in 13, the two witnesses. Okay? They're down here on the earth in the tribulation witnessing on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ during that time. And they've got more power. And ascension of the two witnesses appears to describe either an actual resurrection or a fatal wound. The masses worship the beast because they believed it to be what? Invincible. Nothing can kill it. Nothing can stop it. The whole world was amazed and followed the beast. They worshiped the dragon, another terminology, because he gave authority to the beast. And they worshiped the beast saying, who is like this beast? Who is able to wage war against it? They're totally convinced there's nothing that can stop this beast. And that's why they give him worship.
Okay, the Lord allows, again, the Lord allows the beast to what? Speak blasphemies against God Himself, as well as the authority to conduct its worldwide reign of terror against Gentile believers. This blasphemy takes place for the remaining 3.5 years of the tribulation. Thank you. Tribulation period, yeah. That 3.5 years, once that tribulation starts, the first, I believe, 3.5 are peaceful, and then it turns ugly. And you don't want to be there for that period. Because we're going to get into the earth dwellers too, they talk about these satanic monsters that roam the earth and have no meaning or purpose. Bottom line is they're unbelievers, okay? After the witnesses complete their ministry and are taken to heaven, again, the beast was given a mouth to utter boasts and blasphemies. It was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It began to speak blasphemies against God, to blaspheme His name and His dwelling. Where does God dwell? In heaven. Those who dwell in heaven, it was permitted to wage war against the saints and to conquer them. It was also given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. Verse 8 says, all those who live on earth will worship it, everyone whose name was not written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slaughtered. That's why when people talk about predestination, like they say, well, why witness to somebody? It's ridiculous. God is saying He created all things. He knows all things. He knows who's coming, who's going, who's going to be born again, who's not going to be born again. That's what He's talking about. Because they say, oh, you know, hey, you know, predestination, you know, why bother if God already knows or already knows who's going to be saved? And they get it all confused. But, you know, we all are born and we're all going to die, but God knows there's no oops moment with God. He knows exactly who's going to come to church, who's not going to come to church, who's going to believe, who's not going to believe. And you might as well throw that theory out the window. In a way, He's just saying He knows. He knew at a point in time that David Matthews and his family would be coming to Curtis Gospel from Holland. Is it Holly or Holland? He knew all that. He knew all that before he even got it. So that is thrown out the window. Word of evangelizing. But He knows people's hearts. The word dwelling equates to the saints from every nation. Of when it was said that God will shelter them. What does that mean? He will protect them. These heaven, they're called heaven dwellers. That's what we're called. Heaven dwellers. As seen later in the book, praising God for His just judgment and for the Lamb's marriage to His bride. Just before the second coming of Christ. Back to chapter 13, verse 8. This verse explains why the earth dwellers worship the beast. The absence of their names from the book of life of the Lamb, which contains the names of all those who are spared, the lake of fire at the last judgment. That's exactly what's going to happen. You know, there's a little video, David, you know about my little favorite little video. This guy had the experience, which I believe Rod Pickens talks about experiencing the great white throne judgment, had an out-of-body experience, and he was asking God, and it's the most terrifying thing I've ever seen in my life. It's like 15 minutes long, but it's just horrific. I mean, it really describes chapter 20 of Revelation, what it's like to stand at that judgment. He said, you know, he witnessed millions of people in line, God's judgment being called out in front of everybody, a portal next to him. God going through their entire life verbally, loud. He said, it's a terrifying thing to stand before the Lord. But he gave him a vision of what it's like. And having the portal open up and God yelling a loud voice, depart from me, and there were screams being laid. I mean, you could take any horror movie in the history of the world I don't know how many from Hollywood, I don't know how many were you talking, thousands probably, and they don't even come miles close to what I saw, or what he saw, or the chapter in Revelation. I remember trying to talk to that girl in Aruba about, I think she's Muslim or something, you know, undecisive. But I showed her that she was actually crying, it was that scary. But I said, that's what she was asking. I said, well, this is one of the judgments. I go, if you're a believer, you will not be at this judgment. But this is where the unbelievers will show up and be judged. And it's terrifying. You know, because what Satan is doing, he knows he has but a short time to do it. Satan is a counterfeiter. He's trying to imitate the Creator in all aspects of reality, of being dying. As an example, God's reality, the real Trinity, is what? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The satanic imitation, as we read here, is the false Trinity. The dragon, the beast, the false prophet. Satan wants to be like God, but he can't. As we look in Isaiah, he says, I want to be like the Most High. Well, why didn't he just say, I want to be the Most High? Because you know it's impossible to be the Most High, or even like the Most High. You know, Jesus, the Lamb, standing as though it had been slain, Satan's imitation is many a headed beast with mortal wounds healed. Revelation 2:3, God seals the saints. Revelation 13, Satan has the mark of the beast. Jesus is the bride in white. Satan is the prostitute in purple and scarlet. You know, what's interesting about God dealing with Satan at a certain time, I mean, you know, it's hard to believe that this created being, Satan, was one of the top angels when he was created. I believe it would be Gabriel, Michael, and Lucifer. But he was such an angelic, beautiful being, and full of pride is probably the number one sin somebody could have in their heart. God really goes over that a lot with people. He resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. You know, witnessing the people, guys, if they got arrogance or they're proud and they don't want to hear, don't waste your time. If they're narcissistic, don't cast your pearls before a swine. They've got that pride factor to where they don't need to be saved. They don't need to be born again. They're a good person. They know where they're going, if they're going, or if they don't even care where they're going. But if they don't want to hear it, they don't come humbly to hear your word. You know, Jesus said, shake the dust off your heels and walk out the door. One thing I don't like doing is I will not waste my time on family members. I pray for them. But if they don't want to hear it, I'm not going to. I like people that want to ask a bunch of questions. You rarely get it. I once in a while will get that. You know, they want to talk about it because obviously there's somewhat of a concern about, you know, where they're going to spend eternity. That's why I like that passage in Ecclesiastes. It's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of feasting, because that's the end of all men. And that's no way you can get around that. And the living will take it to their heart, saying, well, you know, wow, there's somebody in their casket here. But that's not going to be me. They procrastinate. They put this off for years and years and years. I think they've got plenty of time. Now, you're a bad decision going through a red light on any given day going into eternity. That's the calculation of the time you have down here, how short it is. Revelation 11 says, then I saw another beast. David, you just read that. Coming up out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb. But it spoke like what? A dragon. It exercises all authority of the first beast on its behalf and compels the earth and those who live on it to worship the first beast whose fatal wounds was healed. You know, again, we're talking about the earth dwellers here. Those who live on the earth at this time, we the saints will not be here for that horrible time. We will be raptured out of here. That is what our church believes, I could say that, but there's a lot of people that don't believe that. You know, they think we're going to be here for all this stuff. God forbid we will. I mean, that's what I'm taking with it. I mean, the second beast that arises here is apparently a religious leader, because it is called what? The false prophet. He's a false prophet. Outwardly, he seems gentle and kind, but inwardly he's a ravenous wolf, like Christ or the Lamb. But it prophesies are the voice of Satan. And Satan is what? The dragon. I mean, you see what's going on right now as we speak. I mean, the earth dwellers are getting more ridiculous down here, the way they look, the way they act, their demonic tattoos and their piercings, and they've got no consideration for what's to come. In verse 13, it says it also performs great signs. That's what's amazing, the power God gives this demonic thing, because this is what people want. Okay, this is what they want. He causes fire to come down from heaven to earth in front of the what? People. It deceives those who live on the earth. I'm thinking in Thessalonians, how God says he will send them a strong delusion, that they will believe, you know, it gets so deep that they will believe the lie. And they'll be happy about it. That's how God is going to punish them, because they've got the choice not to believe the lie, cry out for mercy. But instead, they do just the opposite. Deceives those who live on earth, because the signs that is permitted to perform in the presence of the beast, telling those who live on the earth to make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was now full authority from the first beast to complete his mission. Worldwide worship. That's what he wants. That's what Satan wanted from the beginning of the first beast. Causing fire to come down from heaven. Sounds like a mimic of the what? Two witnesses. See, he's counterfeiting again. They could do that, he can do that. They could do that, he can do that. When they did that, the second beast shows its likeness to Satan as it deceives the earth dwellers. Though the spectacular signs it can perform, it persuades the earth dwellers to an image of the first beast to worship. It's an image of the first beast to worship. Has anybody ever heard of that thing, the Burning Man in California, that satanic nightmare that goes on every year in the desert? All the rich, wealthy people, they ran into a little problem or something like that. But what that is they're warming up. Having a warm-up party right now, guys. They're having it right now. You go on, you click some of the demonic images. They got giant statues of demonic horns coming out of the desert. They got paintings. They got animal, clay figures. And they worship this stuff. They're all rich beyond compare. They've got no thought of the Lord, this has been going on and on and on. And when you look at this demonic worship, it's just like people flock to this stuff. They flock to this stuff because that is where they're headed. They're earth dwellers doing this stuff. I mean, if you think about it, really, there's the thousands that go out to these events. I mean, do you think Jesus is anywhere near their thought or on their heart or in their minds, or if you were to talk to them about that, they'd look at you like you're from a third world atmosphere or something like that. But it just shows you how the image is worshipped. Satan says, bow down and worship. What does he say? Worship me, and I will give you whatever you want. And a lot of people go with that. Isn't that scary? I call it small change. Exactly. You get a temporary time of pleasures and prosperity and everything that goes along with being temporary alive, but for what purpose? I mean, you lose your soul when you die. Obviously, your soul you've done this, and you stay that way, and it's lights out forever. It was permitted to give breath to the image of the beast so that the image of the beast could both speak and cause whoever would not worship the image of the beast to what? Be killed. You don't worship these, you'd be killed. Since idols have mouths but cannot speak. You ever think about that? Seriously. Back in Moses' time, when they went up to get the Ten Commandments, they're making carved images of stuff that cannot speak. They have a mouth, but they can't speak. It's insanity to no end. They've got no breath. I like this, but cannot speak. The impression that the first beast, the image, has breath and might even speak just maybe a hoax. They might say that it's a hoax in which it would deceive those who dwell on the earth. Or demonic power, yet still under God's control because God allows it. So all the horrible things going on down here is because of God's judgment and His judgment to come. I heard a good saying, if God doesn't judge this, He'd have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. I agree with it. Gotta be judged. That's why as soldiers for the Lord, we need to stay strong, keep focused, and be ready. Some people don't believe in the rapture. The signs are all there. You got to be ready to go at any given time. Could be today, could be tomorrow, could be 2 months from now, could be 10 years from now. It doesn't matter. You're seeing this world being judged, the government taking over, the robots out of control, the AI. This is satanic stuff. I don't care what anybody says. That these robots don't have souls. But one day the Lord will throw the robots and the evil inventors, as it says in Proverbs, into the lake of fire. Remember, the evil inventors are behind the robots. And it makes everyone small and great, verse 16. Makes everyone small and great, rich and poor. Free and slave to what? Receive a mark on his right hand or on his forehead. So no one can buy or sell unless he has the mark. The beast's name or the number of its name, this calls for wisdom. Let the one who has understanding calculate the number of the beast because it is the number a person. Its number is 666. In that time, people just want security. They're going to just want peace. They're going to do whatever they're told. As we see it happening now in this dark world, how you see our country just going to hell, basically, day by day by day, and what, how people live, how they act, unloving and caring, it goes down the line. The mark of the beast will be on some sort of demonic, maybe a tattoo or a name, brand of the beast, saying, or a numerical name I was looking into. And it's required. You can't do nothing without that. What's scary is that day is approaching as we see the government trying to take control of the... So, my brother-in-law, by God's grace, and I don't care what anybody says, I had my church praying, I had my friends praying for him. And the way my sister described it, he got the shingles shot, next thing you know he had a reaction, next thing you know he had a pneumonia. Next thing you know, one day he's got the tubes in him. The next day he's in the ICU fighting for his life because he had blood on the brain. God holds your breath in his hands. He could change his mind. He did it to Hezekiah and added 15 more years to his life. Howard DePoy's life was in his hands. It could have went either way, to be honest with you. We didn't pray, he could be dead right now. That's the way I look at it. But that's how powerful prayer is. Prayer is the most important thing you have. Prayer is the most important thing you possess. Talking to the living God and having a relationship with Him. That He hears your prayer. What does the Bible say? He hears your prayers. And maybe the good of praying for somebody, whether they're an unbeliever or a believer, that they would think about that. You know, when you're on your deathbed, there ain't no turning back from that. No. You're either right with the Lord or you're not right with the Lord. And after death, it's too late. The mark of the beast would be some sort of thing I was talking about and is required in that business day. The mark clearly contrasted the seal and the name of the Lamb and the Father on the foreheads of the 144,000. See the counterfeiter again? You got a seal on them, the 144,000. And then you got the mark of the beast on the other people. The number 666 reflects the fact that the number 6 is what? Just short of the Lord's perfection of the number 7. See, it just goes, just doesn't end. Just doesn't end until God puts an end to it. And one day, him, the false prophet, and the beast will be the first parties into the what is called the lake of fire of everlasting torment, day and night. And the sad thing is, multi-billions of people will go that route and be deceived. We should be grateful that we're not going to be there for that nightmare. We'll be at the judgment seat of Christ getting judged for what we did and did not do in our body, because our body is not our own. Our body is not our own. It glorifies the Father. That's what we need to do. Coming to church, going to Bible study, doing things for the Lord, doing things for others, fellowshipping, loving one another, coming to church. We should be thankful we have this place in this dark, dark time right now. How would you like to go to a false church that doesn't preach the gospel and tells you lies? And there's a lot of them out there right now. I'm telling you right now. Look around you. You know, I'm not going to condemn them all, but there's a lot, you know, that doesn't stick by the word. They want to give or take what they think is right and what's wrong. They're not going by the word of God, because that is the convicting thing to which you want to live by. So, we are in the book of Revelation on Wednesday, so if you guys... Anybody that's got time to come out and learn, I mean, that's what it's all about down here. And keeping focused on the Lord, you know, and encouraging others to get involved and to believe on Jesus, you know. And, you know, at least drop, you know, because I look at it this way. You drop the seed, the Lord waters the plant, basically. And it's up to Him, thank God. I mean, you can't force to believe, but you could definitely be an example, and you can live your life according, because they watch what you do, no doubt about it. Father, we thank you for this time that you brought us out to church today, Lord. Thank you that we have another day to worship your Son down here, Lord. We give you the glory that you so well deserve, Lord. We thank you for our ministry work down here, Lord. We thank you for this kids club that's starting up on Wednesday. We thank you for David teaching and the women getting involved in the food. Lift Lynn Contreras up. She's a part of it. We pray for her to get healthy. Pray for this bus to run accordingly and no problems. Pray for the Denny kids to come back, new kids to come through. Pray for the mission that's starting back up on Thursday, Lord. Thank you for that ministry. Keep them busy about our Father's business while we're down here. Pray for work, Lord. Thank you for the tithing that we have here, for the money to help others and pay our bills here, Lord. Thank you for the elders, Dan and Ray, here every day, that conduct and lead the church. Pray for Bob Billings coming up in 3 weeks. Pray for Brad next door, Lord. He might have COVID. We pray for him. He wanted to come today, but he's not doing good. Thank you for Eugene, Lord, right now, getting his car back and getting his bills paid with it and not taking the bus. And keep him protected on them roads, Lord. It's very dangerous to drive down here, Lord. Thank you again for my brother-in-law pulling through right now, and we just continue to pray for Jean with her imbalance, and we pray for Phil, too, just, you know, with his health and his legs to be better, and pray for Mary and Wilkie's kids. We pray for Jasmine and her kids coming out here and putting you first, Lord. That's what we need to do. Pray for Ray and Bev right now, Lord, still for the loss of Gary. Give them strength every day, Lord, to get through each day. Aria and just Jeff and Laura and Maria, think of them. Just think of everybody right now, Lord. And we're thankful for each and every day that you give us. Bless us now, Lord. Bring us back on Wednesday, and we pray for a good ministry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Set up Romans 6:72. Look across the page to 6:73. For those of you who may have forgotten, tomorrow is the 21st anniversary of when this country was attacked. And with the World Trade Center, I advise you to look into that, because that is what we call a false flag operation. We went to war against Al Qaeda and nothing. Look into that false flag, and you'll be somewhat surprised. Let's see if I can try this mic. We'll do a first and last verse of this, if I can play.